Religious community? No. I want to call men out of your filthy, disgusting, abominable community. So they get saved by the grace of God and they walk in the fear of the Lord. I ain't here to be polite. I'm here to be right. That's just the truth. They want couth over truth, don't they, Paul? That's what they want. Oh, give me the... You know what? I thank God for men that sit up and tell me the truth. I know. That's why we get along.
I don't even know how to spell it.
I don't either. I think Peter does, though. He's smart. He knows how to spell that. But I'm going to learn how to spell. You know why? Because I bought one of those little spelling... Remember that little spelling thing? Do you remember that little thing? B. C. Oh, that thing's awesome. I love it. I bought one for my daughter. I play with it all the time. It's great. Oh, I love those. Those are great. Anyway, I need those. It worked for you? Proverbs 6:16. Now we'll get into this here. But hey, you know what? I don't want you to lose that fire and that edge and that zeal for the truth. Because there's a war out there. And never forget there's a war out there. I never want to go to sleep and be so sleepy, even as an old man. I hope God gives me the strength until I'm dead to have that strength and that fire to go out there and warn against this stuff. You know, because our generations, our children need it. They don't need, I'm telling you, if you get them shaking hands with these apostate little queers, they are going to turn into apostate little queers. That's what's going to happen to them. You got to stand firm against it. You gotta yell, scream, lift up your voice like a trumpet and war against it. That's what we do. I said that on my Facebook post the other day, we're all the pastors. Why aren't you out taking your men and going war in the streets? Why aren't you preaching the gospel in the streets in front of these places? Where are you? Where are you? Sitting in the four walls and preaching to the amen section of your church because you don't have any opposition? So you go out and you're afraid to have opposition in the world. You're afraid to have it in the streets. You don't want that man to confront you. Really? Because I show videos of men confronting us. And I go play by play through them. Confrontational evangelism, I called it. And I'm going to do it once a week probably and show people, hey, deal with these people right there on the streets. We reasoned with them. We tried to reason with that crazy psychopath lady that Brother Paul and I was talking to that was like, you're the problem. You have 8 children. You're the problem. Yeah. Yeah, it's not enough. That's right. We need more. Paul said, I wish I could have more. But that's their mentality. They hate children. I'm telling you, they hate children. These people hate children. Don't trust these people. I don't trust any of them. If they don't name the name of Christ and walk in the truth, I don't have any reason to trust them, and neither do you. Amen. Not to trust them. All right. Whew. All right, now, I better get moving here. That's what happens. I got that rant before the sermon starts, and then it's like, man, I'm going to run out of time. Well, I'm not actually going to run out of time because you ain't got nowhere to go anyway. Your roast can burn. You can eat it well done. Right? Yeah. What? You can. You can eat it well. Oh, your roast burned.
Those ribs I brought.
Amen. And look, you survived. You're still here. You got some charcoal for your guts. You're doing good. Amen. We need to get fat on some spiritual food, right? The liberal soul, right? Proverbs 6:16. These 6 things doth the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. And this is the one we're going to focus in on today, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. So, here we have a false witness that speaketh lies. This is a degree deeper into sin than the lying tongue, because this has judicial implications. This has the implications of damaging somebody's life, not just simply lying about, what God hates lies anyway, but lying about something... that has really doesn't affect anybody, but it's still deceit and it's still wrong. But it's deeper than that. It's actually destroying men's lives and women's lives. That's what that means. And it's perjury, which we'll talk about. It even goes deeper. That's why the society was supposed to be built on these type of things. Any societies in the world today The most successful societies ever in the world were based on this principle of not perjuring yourself. Like, you weren't allowed to lie, bear false witness against your neighbor. Why? Because you could take your neighbor's property, you could take his life, you could take all of his stuff, you could damage his integrity and his life, and those things are rarely gotten over in many times. So all societies were based on these principles of the second table of the law, which is, hey, you know what, you don't hurt your neighbor. Right? I don't go hurt my neighbor by slandering him or lying about him. I don't go lie about him and say he did something that he didn't do. Because I can destroy his reputation and his life. Right? So we're going to talk about that and then kind of personalize that for us and even as Christians, how we have to be careful with what we say and how we say it and everything else like that. Father, Lord, please bless us now. We thank you for your words. Thank you, Lord, for the infallible word of God. Thank you for the fire you put in our hearts and our lives and the strength and the power. Your word is like a hammer, Lord. Help us to use it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, number one, what is the difference in a lying tongue and a false witness? Well, there's a distinction made here between both of them. One is the general sin of lying one to another, and one who cannot tell the truth in normal daily relations. One that practices and plots and plans their sin in lying and being dishonest. They lie about nearly everything, or when it suits them to lie to protect themselves. They lie to protect and cover their bad character. So that's the general sense of lying and continuing in lies, of which God reminds us in this text that he hates the lying tongue. Children must understand that God hates a lying tongue, and they must not develop in their character the practice of lying, because it will stick with them and form part of who they are. Things that are not weeded out at childhood and dealt with biblically, with biblical principle and teaching and proper correction and instruction, will go on and spread into their life in the future. Be very careful about allowing your children to lie. Don't allow them to lie. Teach them how much God hates that and why God hates it so much, because it is against his holy nature. Because God is truth, which we'll cover at the end of this sermon here, Lord willing. Parents have a duty to discipline lying and not to tolerate it when they know they've caught lies. Now, let me caution you of one thing. If you just think that someone has lied to you and you don't have proof of that, then you ought to be very careful. I want you to be very careful, because God is a just God. God doesn't punish us for things that we don't do. Amen. He doesn't. He doesn't punish us for things that others do. Right? He deals with our sin. And you as a parent ought to deal with, you must deal with that children's sin personally there in that way. Don't punish a child on mere suspicions. Punish them or discipline them for sins that they've committed. You know, when they've done wrong, when you know they've lied or they've been dishonest, that's when you punish them. You know, you have to be careful. There is, in wanting children to tell the truth and wanting us to, you know, teach character, don't find yourself falling into being a Roman Inquisitionist. What do I mean by that? Setting them down, setting them in a chair, and running them through an Inquisition for hours upon hours on end, or trying to get out of them, you know, the truth of everything. If you only have mere suspicions of what they've done, but you don't know it for sure, then you pray and you ask God to reveal that in their character to you. You ask God to guide you in dealing with them. And you tell them very specifically that I don't know what happened here and I can't prove it. But I will tell you this, I have asked God to show me. And if that trait comes in your character and I see it, God will reveal it to us and we will deal with your lying, if you are lying. But I am not going to accuse you of things that you have, that I have no proof that you've done. Do you understand why that helps? If you're not careful, you'll be very harsh. You wouldn't want anybody doing that to you, right? In authority, you wouldn't want anybody doing that to you and accusing you of something when you had no proof. Asking is one thing. There's nothing wrong with that. We can ask, right? And we can, you know, try to reason with them if they have lied. But I will tell you what, if you're not careful, you can develop a hardness and a rebellion in a child where they will double down on their rebellion and their hardness because you were so hard. I'm not saying be wishy-washy. I'm not saying don't stand for the truth and don't teach them what's right. I'm saying that there has to be a balance too in the way you deal with them, with compassion and love. And also, my child should not think automatically that I don't believe what they say. If I develop that in them, that they think that, then guess what? They're not going to come to me when they do wrong. They're going to try to hide it. Well, why are they going to try to hide it? And well, number one, it's a sin nature. It's a fallen nature. And none of us want to be accountable when we're wrong. We always want to run from being wrong. But number two, maybe it's my rigidness. Maybe I'm just so absolutely rigid with them that they're afraid to talk to me. Right? That's not the kind of fear that we want. We want reverence from them. We want a godly fear and respect and for them to know that we stand for what's right. But we don't want to push them away with too much hardness. So there is a balance to that in still wanting to develop their character and grow them and make sure they're right and they confess when they are wrong and they've lied and they've done things that they shouldn't do. And we get that. But at the same time, we don't want to be so rigid and hard that they're not going to come to us because they know if they do, whew, they ought to know that, yeah, they're going to be in trouble when they do wrong. They have to answer for that just like we do because you're teaching them what life is. You don't escape trouble in this world. You know, you don't escape when you do wrong. There's the law of sowing and reaping, right? We're gonna reap what we sow, right? There is that aspect of it. But also, I don't want to be so hardened that they're afraid to come to me like that, and not that I'm so imbalanced with what I do that they won't tell me. That's not the type of relationship that you build up with them. Yes, you're their parent, but we need to be careful. All right, and we need to pray. You ought to pray about those things. Don't take for granted. Pray about it. If you see something in your child that is not right or that's there that's a concern for you, then you should be praying very specifically about that, and then you should pray with them about that. You should take them and pray with them. If you've caught them being dishonest, then you should pray with them, asking God to help them to develop or to do right, you know, to be honest. Lord, help them, please. Help them to be honest at this and help them to do right. You need to pray with them. So they know that you're serious about it. Our children need to see that we answer to God for our parenting, that we're not the highest on the food chain when it comes to authority in that sense, but that God is above all, and that we want them to submit to us because we submit to God as parents, that we are guided by the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures, and we are guided by God, and we want them to be guided by God as well. But we show them that by our godly submission to the Lord, and that we are praying and we are humbling ourselves before our children and praying for them and praying for their concerns and their problems and their challenges that they have. Do you see how that shows a godly submission? You teach children a godly submission by your example, right? When they see you humbled, when you have concerns, when you go to God for those things, they see that and it will help them. It will help to guide them. Don't underestimate what God can do in your child's life. Yes, you're their parents, but you have a responsibility to pray with them and for them. You have that responsibility, right? It's many times when we see a child rebel or something, we have this like desire to be standoffish almost to it in some cases. And it repels us. Or we want to just bring the hammer down on it, which we have to deal with it. But what they need is more attention. They need more godly attention. They don't need less. They don't need less. They need more. Right? They don't need less attention, but that they need more. So they grow and they do what God wants them to do. So they learn. And that's part of our responsibility as a mother and a father. Mom, you're going to do that a lot more in many cases because you're going to be home with them. So you're going to do that more because you're going to see them all the time and know what they're challenging with. But dad should know what they're struggling with. So he knows what to pray for while he's at work. He should know what they're struggling with. My child is having so-and-so son or daughter is having a problem here. We need to pray for them. My wife and I, we discuss those things quite a bit amongst ourselves about different things with our children that we see, that we pray for, that we have concerns for. And you want to develop those and ask God to make you sensitive to those things so you can work on that. That's how you proactively work on things in raising your children, is you bring it to the Lord and you bring them to the Lord with it. It's how we work on those things together. If you see it, don't ignore it. Deal with it. Deal with it by prayer. Deal with it by supplication. Deal with it by making your requests known unto God. That's what he said to do, and that's what you have to do. By the way, God will do more than you can do. He'll do more than you and I can ever do. And that's why we always bring him into it. Amen? I'm going to have to get a drink. Throat's dry. It's because I talk too much. Maybe. Anyway. So then, parents, you have a duty to discipline lying and not tolerate it when you know they've caught them in lies. You know, I'd be careful about how you do that, though, as far as the Inquisition type stuff goes. It's rarely profitable. Because you'll force somebody through force to do something, which sometimes that's necessary, but you'll force them, and it's so rigid at times. You have to have faith that God is going to reveal things to you. Now, don't ignore things when they're in front of you when you have proof of that. That's when people get actually kind of lazy and they don't do what they're supposed to do. But when it's in front of us, we deal with it. But ask God to do that. He'll reveal it to you. He'll show you what you need to know. But if we're parenting our children, the truth will come out. But interrogating them in hours-long things, it should not be necessary. If you are working on their heart, if you've developed having their heart, and you're working, that should not be necessary. What that means is you don't have that child's heart. When there's a continual thing like that, you don't have it. You need to get it. You need to figure out why you don't have it. In these cases, in that situation. Now, obviously, we have the depravity of the child. They got that from us. That's there. But you also need to go after that heart. Home should be a loving environment. It should be a loving environment. It should not be like a battle zone. In that, I mean, there, you know, it's chaotic at times because we got lots of children, a lot going on, and many movable parts, right? I'm not saying that. But what I mean is the atmosphere of your home should be love. I'm going to say this to you again very plainly. The atmosphere of our home should be love. Amen. Hate is in the world. It is not in our homes. We love each other. That's right. When my children start that bantering type thing, like, no, you're not going to talk to each other like that. You're not going to act like that. You're not going to treat each other like that. Someday you're all going to be gone. You're going to grow up. You're going to be away. You're not going to be around each other. And you're going to remember the times you had together. And you don't want to do that. You don't want that to be. You want to love each other and enjoy the time that God has given you. Enjoy your family. And you ought to love each other. It shouldn't be a contentious brawl type thing in the home like that. It shouldn't be that way. If it is, then you change it. You mothers and fathers are the leaders. You change it. Right? It shouldn't be that way. They should love to be home and they should love to be with you. That's right. That's right. You should love to be around your family. I understand there's a time to get alone and to do all that. There's nothing wrong with that. But you should love to be home. Your children shouldn't like dread it. Shouldn't be the case. Shouldn't be. You got to change that. Amen? And remember, one good principle. When dealing with children or anybody, really, don't accuse, ask. Remember that. By the way, dealing with your spouse, dealing with other people, don't accuse, ask. Why? Well, that's a loving thing to do, because we think no evil about each other, right? Right? If I heard something about you, my first inclination, if it was off, would be like, well, I don't really believe that unless you show me, you know, that I'd have to have proof of that, right? Because I'm not going to believe evil about you. You know, I'm not going to believe, and the same goes for your children. Don't believe evil about them. You ask them, right? Ask. There's nothing wrong with asking. That's your duty. Every time you see in the Bible when God went after man to get him right, what did he do? He asked him, "Where art thou?" He asked him. What have you done? Where's thy brother? He asked him. Why? Because asking promotes confession. Rigidness and hardness and accusations, what does that do? Makes people stiff-necked and hard-hearted. It's hard for them when you ask people, when you legitimately ask them, it breaks them down. That's the pattern that God shows us in the Word. Amen. So I know that's not really directly about what we're talking about, but it's profitable.
Amen.
It's profitable for our families and each other, by the way. We ask each other. We don't accuse each other. We're not going to do that. I'm telling you, I am committed by the grace of God to see us in this church. Love one another, have mercy and patience with each other, get through our differences, the little ones that we have, which aren't that major, right? And that we are not going to allow Satan to do anything like he ever did before and to stir up the things that happened many, many years ago. We are not going to conduct ourselves like that. Amen. We're not children, we're adults, and we have to, and we're grown up in Christ, and we have to act like it. So we're not going to do that. We're not going to allow that to happen. That's done. That stuff's way in the past, and it's not coming back. We're not conducting ourselves like that. So God has brought us through many things to teach us that, and he chastened us for those things, and me and others. He chastened us. We're not going to act that way. Nope. That's done. That's over. That's kiddie stuff. We're not doing that. Amen. We've got too many children to raise and to teach what's right. And that's our duty. Amen. That's our duty. They're not babies anymore. They're growing up. We got some babies though still. Right? But we have to teach them the right way. And that's by loving each other. You know, we stand up for what's right, but we're going to love each other. That's important. All right, number two, false witness. It breaks the ninth commandment. You want to know the most guilty thing about that is it breaks the ninth commandment? That's what it does. Exodus 20, verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That's the ninth command. Right? One said it this way, although God seems only to prescribe that no one, for the purpose of injuring the innocent, should go into court and publicly testify against him, yet it is plain that the faithful are prohibited from all false accusations, and not only such as are circulated in the streets, but those which are stirred up in private houses and secret corners. Right? So, the gist of this was for living in a society, right? Any type of society. Obviously, the Lord's church is his body, right? And we're not allowed to make false accusations against each other. We're not allowed to bear false witness against our neighbor. We're not allowed to do that, right? We don't want to do that anyway. We should never want to do that. That, by the way, that's why some of you are very hard on yourself when you hear people say things and then they leave this church and then there's like, everything comes out as to what was said, and it's verified by many sources. It's not like anybody's gossiping. And you're all like, man, why didn't I see this? Well, it's because you love them. That's why. You don't want to see it. You're not thinking evil about it. You're taking a comment like, well, people make an off comment sometimes. That's just the way it is. That's the way. Why? We're not thinking evil about them. Yeah. So you're blindsided by it. When it all comes in, you're like, phew, man. But that means you weren't thinking evil. It's not a bad thing. It means that you actually cared for them. You're like, we suffer long with things, right? We're careful. We're like, oh, okay, I get it. They probably just had a bad day or something. You know what I mean? And we just, but that's having charity for people. Now, whatever their motives are, that's not our fault. We don't have to answer for their motives. But I always tell those people, that's, well, we loved them no matter what. We were real. We love them. Even though they may hate our guts, but we love them. We meant everything we did when we went out and served the Lord with them, when we helped their family, when we watched their children, when we nursed them back to health, whatever it is, when we gave them finances or what. We loved them. That's why we did it. We don't regret. I don't regret doing it. I don't regret doing it. Amen. Jesus told us to do it, so we don't regret it. Whatever their motives were, that's not my problem. You don't lose your reward because somebody else's motive was wrong, right? We don't lose our rewards in heaven for that. We truly did love them and care for them. Amen, and still do. We ain't going to stop. If people want to get right with God, they know where to find us, right? We're not bitter. We be careful. We'll be cautious, right? We're not fools either, right? The longer you're saved, you learn that your senses are exercised a little bit. So we'd be very cautious. But that doesn't mean we wouldn't forgive them. Amen? They got to want that, though. For it would be absurd when God has already shown us that men's fortunes are cared for by him, that he should neglect their reputation, which is much more precious. In whatever way, therefore, we injure our neighbors by unjustly defaming them, we are accounted false witnesses before God. So just be careful about that, right? All of us. We must now pass on from the prohibitive to the affirmative precept, for it will not be enough for us to restrain our tongue, said one, from speaking evil, unless we are also kind and equitable towards our neighbors and candid interpreters of their acts and words, and do not suffer them as far as it in us lies to be burdened with false reproaches. Besides, God does not only forbid us to invent accusations against the innocent, but also to give currency to reproaches and sinister reports in malevolence or hatred. Right? We're not to spread things that are wrong. It's a very serious crime bearing false witness that God hates. We should not take it lightly, right? That's why we have to be careful at times. We can generalize a little too much at times. We'll throw out things, and I'm guilty of that. I've done that before. I've been guilty of that in the past, where I've just overgeneralized things, right? And just been like, well, not everybody. Because like Paul said one time, well, you don't know everybody, so you can't say everybody. You know, we were talking about something one time. Well, you can't say everybody. It's like, you know, I've made the comment before that, and I've prefaced it now with a little more wisdom, but a lot of, I said before, man, those Ruckmanites, they don't like holiness and separation, or they don't stand for a lot of those things. And I changed that to many of them that I've seen don't. Because that's accurate, because I guarantee you there's some out there that care about that, right? There's some out there that care. So we want to be careful about how we say things like that. And I mean that, because I've been, the gist of what I've watched from them, many of them don't care about that, right? We've seen that before. But it's not right to say all of them, right? Because that's not true. There are some probably in their homes and their pastors are like that and everything. So, you know, we don't want to make that, you know, that brandish that. And also the word heretic is brandished around way too easy. Okay, heresy deals primarily in the scriptures. What you will find is it deals with the person of Christ and his office. That's where heresy deals with. Now, when somebody is preaching wrong on the person of Christ, right, the Godhead, basically God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, which would be what, like Jehovah's Witnesses, Arianism, modalism, oneness, Pentecostal doctrine, those things are heresies, right? Right, Pelagianism, work salvation, hyper-Calvinism, things that, all those things that we would disagree with, we believe are wrong, right? That we would preach against and say that they are wrong. Those are, I would say that, well, I think hyper-Calvinism represents a different God. There are Calvinists that don't believe that far, okay? They don't go that far. Like even David Cloud had to admit, they're not all in the same bunch. There's different ones that are in there. And he preaches pretty hard against Calvinism too. So there are different ones that don't believe exactly. The Baptist ones don't believe like the Protestant ones do. I will say that. That's an accurate statement. Now, am I either one of those? No, I'm not a Calvinist. I think I've made that very clear in my ministry and everything else. I don't believe in being part of any of those groups because I don't agree 100% with them. So why would I be labeled by them? Baptists I can see in the Bible. Right, so that's why I have no problem being labeled that because I see it in the scriptures. I see the way the Lord started His church and everything else. So I understand that, right? But those other labels I stay away from. I don't have anything to do with them. But I won't say that they're all heretics. They're not all heretics. Do they all hold what we would believe as false doctrine? Yeah, many of them do. But we don't believe. But that's not all heresy. Do you understand? So I think the problem is that people have lumped that in and made that Roman Catholicism, heresy. Seventh-day Adventism, heresy. Right? That is heresy. Lifting up the fourth command above all other commands and following around some witch, that's heresy, yeah. That's a false gospel. Work salvation, right? Hebrew roots, that is heresy. Right? Why? It's work salvation. It's the Old Testament law. So those things we know. Okay, those are heresies. But differences in between some of those things, I wouldn't call those heresies. I don't think the Bible does either. They might be false doctrines, but they're not heresies. See the difference? I think that word is thrown around way too loosely. And heresies would be dealing with salvation. Okay, work salvation. Because it centers around Christ. Salvation is in the Lord. Salvation is in Christ. Right? So if you're wrong about who Jesus is,
that's right. Yep.
That's heresy.
Yep.
Right? Those are, we don't budge on those. That's the doctrine of Christ. Right? But there's false doctrines that are out there about things.
Well, commanded how to deal with heretics.
Right? We don't burn them. We preach to them. And we don't hate them. That's the difference. We don't want to see them die.
Oh, right.
That's what Rome does, and that's what her daughters did. We don't do that.
That's right.
Because Jesus didn't do that.
That's right.
And He told us not to do that. That's right. Yeah, we will church you out for that. But I will not, we will not as a church, we don't push people out because of just disagreements. We may not agree with the doctrine that you hold to. We're not going to push anybody out for that.
That's right. Amen.
If it's damnable heresies, that's different. That's way different, right? So we have that line in the scriptures, and I think we got to be careful because we can kind of label everybody heretics out there, and that's what Rome does. They labeled them heretics so they could burn them.
Yep.
Well, we don't need to do that. We can identify what we believe is false doctrine according to the scriptures, and we can identify heresy, which is true heresy, right? But we don't operate. Those two aren't the same thing, right? They're not the same thing.
The Inquisition outside the bounds of the
yes.
Church.
Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly what they did. Yeah. No, we're not. So we need to make sure we have that understanding correct, because we are Baptists and we're the real
right.
ones,
yeah.
the ones that don't kill people. We're those.
Heretics go join the Roman Catholics.
That's what they do. We don't do that. We preach to them. By the way, I don't hate that Jehovah's Witness lady that was there. I loved her. I told her the
Amen.
Truth. I was concerned
Amen.
For her soul. I said, lady, you're dying and going to hell.
Right.
You got one foot in the grave right now, and your soul's on your way to hell.
Yep.
You better repent. I warned her. That's love. I wouldn't harm a hair on her head. Any of them. But I'll tell them the truth. Amen. So that's we need to have a good understanding of that. Because I think people are, back hundreds of years ago, our forefathers and others would get along with a lot of people. They didn't yoke up with them, but they didn't persecute them either.
That's right.
And they called out, if John Bunyan, when he was in jail with a Quaker, and he refuted the Quaker's doctrine, but he didn't hate him. He wanted the Quaker to go free just as much as he could go free. He loved him. He told him the truth. He wrote an entire dissertation for the Quaker. Why? Because he wanted him to be saved. And he didn't want a hair on his head to be harmed. Because he was sitting in jail for his faith. And he was a nonconformist too. So we don't hate those people. We love them. We'll tell them they're wrong. We have to, right? But we should never hate anyone like that. For I don't hate Muslims. I want them to be saved. I don't hate any of them. I want them to know the truth. They're enslaved in bondage. I don't want them to die and go to hell. Amen. So we need to be careful. Very careful about that. He who condemns his neighbor either falsely or upon trifling surmises. Remember, we talked about that evil surmise. Well, you think your neighbor did something to you, or you think your friend did something to you, or you think your church brother and sister in Christ did something to you, but you don't know. Don't say anything. Be quiet. You pray. You don't know. Don't ruin them. Hey, I've been guilty of flippantly saying things at times. Years ago. It's being a little too loose with throwing things around like that. And I would venture to say that I'm not the only one in this room that's been guilty of that. You get upset, you get mad about something, you get fired up about something. And you spit out something that's probably not accurate. Right? It's like, you know, that's a little too harsh. That wasn't probably accurate at all. Right? You have to ask God to forgive you for it. Oh, that wasn't very... I don't know that for sure. Right? I don't know that for sure. I know when people persecute you and do things, boy, sometimes you can get really fired up. You know, or you're going through struggles and things like that, and you can say things. The best thing to do is I like this preacher. He's a nonconformist preacher, I think he was, and he preached the mute Christian before the smarting rod of God. And he said basically his best advice was, when you're going through that, shut your mouth. You take the rod and you shut your mouth. That's what he called it, the muting Christian before the smarting rod of God. That was a good book. He talked about it. You just be quiet. Don't say anything, because you're going to say things you're going to regret later. So don't. By the way, that's when you're in a heated discussion, maybe with your wife or your children. Good idea to not say things, because you're going to regret what you say. If you're saying it passionately and not controlling your words, just shut up. Don't say anything. Right? Why? Because you could hurt them. You don't really mean it. You're just upset, and you're firing off with passions. You don't really mean it. Many times, you don't really mean it. But you can say things like that. That's why we have to be careful, right? It's very practical, isn't it? But it's helpful. Because I know I need it, don't you? When you talk as much as we do in front of people, you can say something dumb. You could say something wrong. It's real possible. You could say something the way you don't mean, and later you go back and you're like, man, I shouldn't have said that like that. Amen. Consequently, we must close our ears against false and evil speaking, since he is just as injurious to his brother, since it is just as injurious to his brother who eagerly listens to sinister reports respecting him as he who exercises his tongue in maligning him. The necessity of this instruction, let each man estimate by his own disposition. For scarcely one in 100 will be found who will be as kind in sparing the character of others as he himself desires to be pardoned for manifest vices. Nay, slander is often praised under the pretext of zeal and conscientiousness. Hence it happens that this vice insinuates itself even among the saints, creeping in under the name of virtue. So, you know, in our virtue and our, you know, desire for what's right, we can get so carried away that we can say things that we shouldn't have said. Right? Wasn't accurate. Right? We got to correct it. I've done that before. I've done it on a broadcast. I've done it in the church. I've corrected it. I shouldn't have said that way. Because we want to be upright in our words. And guess what? We're not perfect. And if any preacher that you see them all polished and edited out, I'm not polished and edited. Okay? I'm not. So I'm going to be wrong sometimes, and I'm going to have to repent and get right with God sometimes, and so are you. I'm not some professional that makes you think I'm something that I'm not. I don't do that. I don't act that way, and I don't walk around that way. I'm wrong sometimes, and I got to get right. Sometimes I say things I shouldn't say. It happens to all of us, right? So we have to be careful. Moreover, the volubility of the tongue causes us to think it a light transgression to inflict a deadly and disgraceful wound on our brother, to whom, nevertheless, his good name is of more importance than his life. The sum is that we should manifest our charity no less by candor and by abstaining from slander than by the performance of other duties. So it's just as important for us not to slander one another as it is for good works that we do, other good works that we do, right? It's just as important. What this ninth command forbids, speaking falsely in any manner, lying, equivocating, in any way devising and designing to deceive our neighbor, speaking unjustly against our neighbor to the prejudice of his reputation, and which involves the guilty of both, bearing false witness against him, laying to his charge things that he knows not, either judicially, upon oath, by which the third commandment and the sixth of eighth, as well as this, are broken, are extrajudicially, in common converse, slandering, backbiting, tail-bearing, aggravating what is done amiss and making it worse than it is. And any way endeavoring to raise our own reputation upon the ruin of our neighbors. God hates it so much that he named it, numbered it among the people of the ninth commandment, that he told his people, don't do this. I hate it. See, what God makes commandments against is what God hates. So because he hates bearing false witness, he commands against it, because he hates it. It's against who he is. A false witness that speaketh lies. Jesus mentioned it in Luke 18:20. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Jesus made sure that he mentioned it to them. Unless you think in your mind it belongs in a different dispensation, then look at Romans 13. Verse 9, Paul is giving the same instructions to Christians. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Right? Paul gave it to us to make sure that we understood that God still expects us not to do these things. Now, we know that grace goes above the law. We're not even to do it in our heart. Because God judges the heart of the Christian. He judges the heart of him. He sees into our heart and knows our motives and desires. Right? The sixth thing is perjury, a false witness that speaks lies. That's this number that we're looking at in Proverbs. It literally means that he breathes out or utters lies as a false witness. He breathes them out. Deuteronomy 5:20. Either shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. That's the re-giving of the law, right? He gave it to him once in Exodus. He gave it to him again in Deuteronomy. That in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. These are commands from God not to bear false witness, to teach all children at a young age not to live their lives lying about others. That being a false witness can destroy men's lives. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse number 16 through 21. Why don't you turn there and I'll show you why this was so important to God. Because God knew in his foreknowledge that these things would come to pass, that this would happen. And he was concerned that it would happen. That he knew that it would happen. He was concerned for how they dealt with it. Deuteronomy 19:16, if a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priest and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judge shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness, and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put away the evil away from among you. And those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. And thine eye shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Now this is the old dispensation in Israel, right? So this is the nation that he is giving. We still have the principle in Anglo-Saxon law today of perjury, right? So if you perjure, if you bear false witness against, say somebody lies about you to try to steal your land or try to steal your horse or try to steal your property or your car or something of that nature, it was written into Anglo-Saxon law, it has been way back, that you don't perjure yourself on the stand. Well, where'd they get that from? They got that from the Bible. Now, nobody kills you if you lie about a car or anything, because those commands were given directly to Israel, right, for those things. But the principles you find in all Anglo-Saxon law, that if you perjure yourself, if you lie, if you do those things, then you could be guilty of whatever crime you were going to accuse them of. You get contempt of court and you get caught in perjury and you can be charged for that. Why? So you can't steal a man's life from him on a lie. It's very serious, right? So I suppose because the truth is written on men's hearts as far as what it is to God's right or wrong, I mean, not obviously we know that they're not saved, but right or wrong is written in a man's conscience, like he knows that that's somebody else's stuff, right? He knows that. But so in every society, no matter what it was, whatever form of government, whatever, there's always been something probably similar to this in there. Why? Well, because it came from God. This is where it came from. That principle is there that you don't lie and perjure yourself, because you could destroy somebody's life by that. It's not a game to destroy somebody's life. It's a very serious charge. Proverbs 14:5, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Proverbs 19:5, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Proverbs 25:18, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. It pierces and destroys them, right? Think about it this way. How many times have you been out street preaching and sinners have literally walked up to police and perjured themselves? They lied to the police and said, we did something that we didn't do, right? And we either have video or we have something that proves that they're lying, right? But they've lied to that officer and they've told them that we've done something that we never did. Why? Because they're trying to get you arrested and thrown into jail. Now that's a serious charge if they're caught, if they go to court for that and they lie to that judge and that videotape is shown, or witnesses come forward and say, that's not what happened. This is what happened. False right? It's a weighty charge. Because it should be. You shouldn't be able to ruin men's lives by lying about them. Right? It's a serious matter. Jesus talked about it in Matthew chapter 15, 19. He said where it comes from. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. He was saying it's in the heart. Matthew 26, 59. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I was able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. So? He said he could do it. That's not a crime. But they manufactured it, didn't they? They couldn't get their stories to agree. Why? Because they're all lying. Huh. That didn't happen with the resurrection of Christ. He was seen above 500 who had the exact same story.
Amen.
Huh? That's why in Acts it's called many infallible proofs.
Amen.
Because their stories were all the same.
Right.
Nothing was different. They had the same story.
Yep.
It's hard to get 500 people together to tell the same story.
Right.
It's like impossible. Statistically, they prove, and I think it was in Arthur Pearson's, maybe I read it there, in his Many Infallible Proofs book that he had. He has a two-part book on that. And maybe it was there when he talked about the probability. Or maybe it was another book that I read. But the probability of those 500 people, and to get 500 people to tell the exact same story like that, who were eyewitnesses, who gave their witness account, and it was exactly the same. That's like, you can't get it now. Try it. You won't get that. You can't get 500 people to give you the exact same story or anything.
You can't find a church with 500 people to agree.
Right. There they did, didn't they?
Yeah. Amen.
They had 500 that said, this is what happened.
Yep.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Amen.
But all the witnesses against Jesus, none of them could agree.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
You know, men bore false witness against Jesus and God hates it. And don't be surprised when men bear false witness against you, because it'll happen. I had to learn that the hard way as a pastor, that would come. For some reason, in my mind, I thought that God would not allow someone to do such things and lie like that. I don't know why I thought that. I had the Bible right in front of me. I guess I had to experience it to see that. Then I looked in the scriptures closely when it happened, and God showed me. Do you think you're exempt from what I went through? Are you going to be exempt from my... Is the servant greater than his Lord? You're not going to get out of that. Jesus was betrayed. You're going to be betrayed. Amen. How do you think you're conformed to the image of Christ? That I may know him in the fellowship of his sufferings, right? And the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You don't know him unless you have the fellowship of his sufferings. On some level, all of us have that, right? On some level, all of us have been through that as Christians. Or you will be. Hang on if you haven't yet. Don't worry, it'll come. It'll come. Acts 6:13, and set up false witnesses which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. That was Stephen. He's standing there. And he preached to him, you stiff-necked and rebellious. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. That was a pleasant sermon. He gave him an entire Old Testament history lesson. And then he looked at him, and then he was like, and now I'm going to preach. And he nailed him. And they said, okay, we're going to kill him. But they lied. He didn't. They set up false witnesses. Don't they always? Don't they have to? They have to. They can't tell the truth. So they have to lie about you. That's what they do. They have to, right? Proverbs 12:17, the vice, which is here noted in Proverbs 12:17, to God is expressly forbidden in the moral code. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. God explicitly says that perjury may be employed not only in ruining the innocent, but also in screen-togging the guilty to cause them much hurt. That the deceitful and lying witness, for he corrupteth the judge. He not only corrupts himself, but he corrupts the judge who is judging the matters. He oppresses the innocent, he suppresses the truth, and in the courts of justice sinneth against his own soul and the Lord himself most grievously. That's why we're going to get to oaths, but we don't take oaths. Why? Because let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. If I'm honest, I'm telling the truth. This is what I'm a child of God. I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't have to swear on anything or do it. I'm going to tell you the truth. Right? I'm a Christian. I don't have to do that. I don't have to oath anything to you. Right? Why would I? I don't have to do that. I've already promised God I was going to live that life. He saved my soul, changed me, made me a new creature. And I'm not saved because of my promise. I'm saved because of his. But I'm telling you that I'm already sold out to Christ and surrendered to him. So why wouldn't I tell the truth? Right? When it comes to those kind of things. Swear on this Bible. Why? Why? What for? You don't believe the Bible. You stinking heathen putting a Bible in my hands and wanting me to swear on it. You don't even believe it. You didn't believe the God of the Bible. You bunch of godless antichrist devils. You hate God. You kicked him out of the schools and won't let him use a Bible, but you put it in your courtroom or whatever, or you put it in there and you want people to swear on it or whatever. What a joke. Bunch of liars. Why don't you teach them the Bible when they're kids so they don't end up in prison? Oh, we don't want to do that, do we? We didn't want them to have the Bible when they were children, but we'll give it to them when they're in prison and they're already sodomites, they already destroyed their lives. Bunch of heathens. Bunch of godless antichrists is all they are. People lifting them up thinking they're something special. They ain't nothing special. They're a bunch of liars. Don't trust these people. Amen. Name one of them that'll stand up for what's right. That's not a popularity contest or a poll. By the way, you know how they're all bragging? Listen, I'm going to give you an example of this. And I love doing this, but I'm going to do it again. Here you go. Trump comes out with his patriotic Bible last week, right? Everybody's, woo-woo. You know, all the Christian right are like, yeah, Trump's King James. Oh, okay, anyway. All right, so what? Yeah, that's right. And trembles, right? But he comes out with that, right? So the very next week, his wife is going to go to the largest homosexual groups for his presidential election, the Log Cabin Republicans, for a fundraiser. Yes, you should. Literally, I saw a guy with a post that said, it had a meme, and it said below it, they literally crucified him in public and did this, and then Biden gets away with this and all this stuff. And I'm like, I post on there, he didn't get crucified. Stop trying to make him a god. I didn't say that. I just said he didn't get crucified to see what they'd say, and that's all I had in my mind at the time. Do you know where I was going, right? You can see it. He didn't get crucified. He ain't Jesus. What's the matter with you people? So he's going to the Log Cabin Republican, fundraising with the Log Cabin Republicans? And you believe he believes one word in this book? Really? Like, how do you stomach that? I can't stomach going, I think I'll pull the lever for this dude. I'm going to go into my booth and I'm going to vote for him. And some other woman along with him. I ain't voting for no stinking woman for anything. Garbage. A bunch of women trying to run the country right now, and a bunch of effeminate men, limp-wrested men, letting them run around. And then these women are all caught in fornication and running around. By the way, the staff member of, like, they're caught in affairs and all this other stuff, and it's like, you're surprised that woman's running around acting like a dude, acting all tough and acting all, like, like they're going to do all this. It's just garbage. The whole thing is just, it's such nonsense. I can't believe people still fall for this stuff. It is literally a circus. It really is. And they fall for it. What's that got to do with perjury? Well, that's all they do. That's what it has to do with it. If you need to really know, that's all. I mean, they do it all the time, don't they? Only you don't, they don't go to prison for it. You do. There's the haves and the have-nots. Guess who you are? You the have-nots. And if you have it, they don't take it. That's how that works. Then you become a have-not. Yeah, we hads. We hads, but we ain't gots. They gots. Right? Hey, I just want you to know that under, just so you understand, either whether it's Trump or Biden, under both of them, the billionaires got richer and all the family businesses went. And they stole it all between Walmart and Amazon. So you can't even go in public and buy something more expensive and find a good product like that to go. Because why? Because they're gone. You almost have to shop it at them because there's nothing, there's no shop that you can go talk to somebody in like that. It's just like gone. Right? So they're all on the same team, Satan's. Just as soon as you figure that out, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. Then you'll hit the street. You men will hit the streets with us and we'll get something done for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Once you realize that, you'll be like, all right, I'm done with that. Amen. Such a dude. All right, I'm done with that. Those guys are fakes. You have no time for that. Let me show you an example of this perjury, though. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse number 7. And naturally, it involves a woman in leadership. That lady out there at that abortion clinic said, I don't like women. She said, you don't like women. You hate women. I was like, I do not. I love my wife and five daughters. I love them. Why would I hate them? I love all the women here. I love them enough to tell them what God expects from them and for them to be in that place because I actually care for them. I don't want to put them in an abusive environment that God never meant them to do. Do you really think that God meant Brother Paul to go over there and climb poles and then have some lady boss that's sitting there with him and telling them what to do? That don't know anything anyway, and he's got to sit there and look at her while she's acting like a valley girl dealing with all the stuff, and he's got to sit there like a full grown man. He's standing there, and he's a rough and rugged man, and you're standing there, and there's some little teeny bopper chick sitting next to you telling you what to do on your job. Really? You think a man likes to deal with that? You think he even wants to look at that like that and be like, oh great. This is great. What a great work environment this is. And if that offends anybody, good! I meant it to. I don't care if it offends. That's nonsense. God never meant a man to have to go to work and deal with that stuff. Never to have to deal with that stuff. And act like a limp-wristed dude and have to watch everything he says and be around these women where they talk worse than a bunch of truckers. Sorry, Jacob. But you got to bite your tongue because and they're having cat fights. The women are that are working around each other. There's and you're a full. How many men you think are gonna sit there? And be like, okay, I quit. Yeah, I'm done. Why? Because I don't do this. I'm a man. I don't do what teenage girls do. Okay, that's what teenage girls do. I don't do that stuff. I'm a man. I got to go to work and get something done. I don't. Yeah. How about I? Would you like it over here or? You want to come pick it up at my house? Where are you? I'm done. Why? Because I can't take that. I couldn't take it either. I'll be honest with you. I could not take it. Say, you're sexist. Well, I don't care what you call it. It's called biblical. And men weren't meant to ever have to deal with that like that. They were never meant to have to deal with that. Never meant to have to deal with the female at work running around and dealing with it. Never. Amen. They weren't ever meant to have to deal with that, but they have to in this world. You don't have a choice now. You don't have a choice. Right? Because either way, it's going to creep in or something's going to happen. But the point is that we don't like it. I mean, if a man told you the honest truth about it, he would tell you, oh, I can't stand it. Now, he's not allowed to tell you that in the world, right? Legally. I am, though, so I do. I can. So I'll do it for you. No, I haven't. I thought they were going to prescribe sensitivity training to me sometime, but I haven't. I wouldn't do well. I think I would flunk that. I would flunk it. Like you flunked. I'd be like, I know. I you know, just FYI, it's not wrong to be a man. Just so you understand, if you're a man, it's not wrong to be one. No matter what society tells you, you're not wrong to be a man. Especially you young men. Don't let anybody tell you there's... I don't despise you. I get a kick out of you. You get fired up. You do things. You run around. You're kind of cocky sometimes. I get it. But life will bust that out of you a little bit, and God will deal with that, right? You walk around like a rooster a little bit. I get it. I know. I used to do that too. You saw. Right? You like the cock of the wall. Roosters start fighting each other, you young. I get it. I get it. It don't bother me. It's young men. I kind of like it a little bit. I mean, I don't like the sin of it, but I mean, I understand it, you know. I understand. So I let you go on. I'm like, okay, good. At least you got some fight to you. Man, I'd be afraid if you're all rolling over ready to die. That means you gave in, right? Don't give in to the beta male Minnesota mentality, okay? Don't give in to that. An old guinea? Well, I can't make that noise, but I could give you the noise, but you kind of just run around. Well, I don't know, Ronaldo, he runs around and starts fights with everybody. He's the great white hype, and he fights everybody. He's still the champion, though. Even though we did have to put one in solitary confinement right now because they were fighting too much, boy, they got to going, man. They fight him even if he's goofy looking. Yeah. Well, actually, he doesn't really get into it too much. I think they might be afraid of him. I mean, he looks kind of intimidating. If you look at him, he's kind of weird looking. That's why I like him so much. I want to get more. They're my favorite. They kind of look at you. They kind of got that funny look to them. Right? Yeah, they can. Yeah, they fly up in that tree and sit there. He goes, psh. One day they were messing with him, and I think Mercy or somebody said he went, psh. He went up there and he got away, or the dog maybe, I don't know. It wasn't Buster. He could eat Buster. One gulp, Buster's gone. Anyway, 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 7. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So Jezebel said, oh, aren't you the king? You can have whatever you want. I'll take care of it. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name. By the way, that's how a lot of Jezebels hide. They write letters in Ahab's name, and they hide under that. But they're actually Jezebels. I've pastored some of them. That's kind of crazy. But anyway, you find out later. So he wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed. She wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in the city dwelling in Naboth. And she wrote in the letters saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out and stone him that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders of the nobles who were the inhabitants of in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. So here we see the danger of bearing false witness. Look, someone's going to get killed. That's what happened. Someone's going to get killed. Someone's going to die. It's life or death. Men are thrown into prison by being falsely accused of things. Perjury is a serious crime. God hates it. The six or seven vices, said one, twice enumerated in different order and form of expression, are at the same time, all of them, manifestations of hatred against one's neighbor. Our sins against the second table, yet it is not so much a general unkindness as rather an unkindness consisting in displaying itself in falseness and malice that is emphasized as their common element. It's hatred. You really do hate somebody. You're not loving them when you bear false witness against them, when you lie about them, when you try to get them in trouble or try to hurt them. That's hate. That's not love. When you covet what your neighbor has, that's why it talks about that later. When you covet what your neighbor has, you're hating them. You're saying, I want that, and I deserve it more than they do. It's hatred. It's not love. It's hatred. Right? So it's important that it's a lack of love. That's why Jesus said all the law is wrapped up in those two. The first one was love the Lord God. The second one was love thy neighbor as thyself. Right? He said it. And only on account of the peculiar mischievousness and ruinous character of just these sins of hatred to one's neighbor is he who is subject to them represented as an object of especially intense abhorrence on the part of a holy God. God looks down and he hates it. God threatens it with the strongest manifestations of his anger and penalties. In fact, as a lost person, if you were guilty of no other thing, but you were guilty of perjuring against somebody else, that qualifies for hell, right? And we know with sin nature qualifies us for hell. It's who we are. We love our sin, right? But the point is that here, if that was the only command you broke, James said you break one, you broke them all. And there's so many tied into bearing false witness like that or perjuring, right? There's so many. It's hatred. It's not loving your brother. It's stealing their reputation and harming them. All those things. It's damaging to them. Destroys them. Destroys men's lives. It's very, very sad. Social slander. The slander is amongst the greatest of social curses. He robs his fellow creature of his greatest treasure, his own reputation, and the loving confidence of his friends. So many false witnesses making things up about people that are not true. It's very dangerous to slander men's reputations. Many men have been falsely accused and cannot get their name back, right? Sounds like somebody's crying out there. Is that out there or was that him? Oh, was it? I almost thought I heard it out there. Did it sound like that? Did to me up here. I thought I heard somebody out there by the door, but it was him. Man, he did that in secret. I couldn't even see him. But it's very dangerous to slander men's reputations. Many men have been falsely accused and cannot get their name back. Their name's gone. They can't get it back. I've seen this. I've watched the slanders come. I've had them lie about me like that and others to harm their reputation and destroy them. That's why the Bible's very clear about that, about older women also. Titus 2:3, that the aged women, likewise, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness. Not false accusers. Why is that so important? Well, I'm going to give you an example of the reason why that's so important. It's so dangerous for women to be that way. Older women, you know, elder women in the faith. And older women, you know, that, you know, have been married for a while. And everything. Because people, generally speaking, most men are going to respect what an older lady says to them. It's kind of natural that they would, generally speaking, they would respect that. Somebody that's lived their lives, somebody that's raised children, somebody that's done that. So if an older lady would come and would make an accusation against somebody, they're going to take that accusation seriously, right? Because they're due some respect. The Bible says that the hoary head, right, is due respect, right? So the same thing goes for a man. If a man comes and he's been saved a while, if you came to me with something very serious and you said this was the case, I'm going to listen to you. Why? Because you've been saved for 20 some years. You have experience. You've walked with the Lord. I mean, I don't have any reason not to believe you if you said something like that, right? Then I would listen to you. I would be concerned. I would have some concern. So the Bible says it's very careful. They becometh holiness, not false accusers. That they are very careful that they don't say, if they don't know, they don't say. Right? Because people listen. That's why one of the most damaging things that somebody can do is that testimony is against that. Somebody made a video of me one time and had an old lady do that. They put her in there specifically because he's a devil. And he put her in there specifically to say things that were absolutely false. That is provable by so many ways, but who cares? I didn't try to prove it. I just moved on. But anyway, he put an old lady, why? Because he's a devil, that's why. He's possessed. And he did it because he knew people would pay attention to what an old lady would say on a camera. Right? That's okay. By God's grace, I'm still here. Doing what God's called me to do. Continuing on. Amen. Praise the Lord. We keep moving, don't we? You know what God told me about all that? Don't you worry about your name. You worry about mine. You be concerned with my name. I'll take care of your business. You do my business, I'll take care of your business. Amen. You be about your Father's business. You don't worry. I'll take care of your business. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. You move on and do my work. Don't you worry about that. That was a hard pill to swallow for a little while. But I did it. And I thank God for it. I really do. It's a good lesson to learn. You had to learn it the hard way, though. Amen? Sometimes. So let's be careful of slander of brethren and sisters. Why? Because it is so much to act the part of the devil, to slander. And the same word is here used is commonly given to him, the devil, because he's a slanderer and he's a murderer, right? He's a liar. Not raising false reports or bringing false charges against members of the churches, of the church, and so making differences and divisions among them, right? Factioning and making differences and divisions. Not false accusers, not calumniators, or sowers of discord, slandering and backbiting their neighbors and to a common fault that will destroy them. Not only loving to speak, but to speak ill of people and to separate very friends. A slanderer is one whose tongue is set on the fire of hell. So much and so directly, so do these to the devil's work, and that for it the devil's name is given to that. He's a slanderer. That's what his name means. That's what he is. To sin contrary to the greatest duties of love and justice and equity between one another. It springs often from the malice and hatred or envy and such like causes to be shunned. 2 Timothy 3:3 says, without natural affection, says they're truce breakers, false accusers. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. They're false accusers. That's what they do. By laying things to his charge that are false, by swearing to them, to the person's hurt and damage. Nor privately, but by whispering and tale-bearing, backbiting, slandering, by telling lies of him, traducing his character by innuendos or sly insinuations and evil suggestions whereby we may suffer that he may suffer in his character, his credit, his reputation, his trade, or his business. It's the scope of bearing false witness against your neighbor. We do often see women guilty of these false accusations against others. Think about the Me Too movement. Some of it was true, some of it was false. But you know what? They shouldn't have been there in the first place. To actually believe that there aren't women out there that sleep their way to the top is a big lie. Why? Because it's human nature, that's why. It's fallen human nature. That's exactly what many lost women do. Look at Proverbs. If you don't believe me, look at Proverbs 7. The strange woman. What does it say about her? The good man is gone. What was she doing? Right? I had a woman this week that has stalked my ministry. I would say follow the ministry, but she doesn't. She stalks it. For years, come on. One of my live broadcasts did that very thing. Literally. Accused me falsely of the stupidest things. Of trying to rendezvous with some woman with 8 children and my wife with me and my mom and dad. Yeah, that's what I was doing. It's easy with 12 people in my van to go rendezvous with somebody. Sure, happens all the time, don't you see? It's like, okay. Just set all kinds of, and send me the most wicked, vile emails of perverted things. Pretends to be a Christian. Just wicked things. And sends it to some woman that listens to my broadcast, her husband, and sends it to him and sends wicked, vile things to him. I would say I'm shocked by that, but I'm not, because I've had much worse happen. But it just goes to show you how wicked that is. Right? It's terrible. But they are silly women laden with sins. Like, you need to get busy doing something. You don't have enough to do. That's why Paul said, I would that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the home. Why? Because you're going to get in trouble if you don't. That's why. Amen. You're going to get in trouble if you don't. Amen. I grew up watching that same mentality in my family with aunts and cousins and family members running around, bad-mouthing each other, like falsely accusing each other or just slandering each other. Or they would have literally hours of... They would sit. I watched them sit in rooms for hours and hours and hours and just talk about each other all day long. They accomplished nothing. They just talked about each other like a soap opera for hours. That's all they did the whole time. If one sister was there, wasn't there, they talked about that sister the whole time. If that sister showed up, they talked about the other one.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
The whole time. It's like you spend your, and I'm just a kid. I don't know. I mean, I'm just a kid. I'm like, this is what these people, that's what they wasted their whole lives doing. Never did anything productive. Just sit around and talk bad about each other the whole time. Unbelievable. Maybe that's why I hate that spirit so much, that Jezebel spirit. I can't stand that, man. I hate it so much because I watched it growing up and I watched him do it. It's just pathetic. It's like, how worthless is that for people to get in a room and talk about each other for like nonstop? Like, not just concerns that you might have or something, but just like blasting. Complete demoralization, right? It's just, it's horrible. Okay, so we'll close with this. Why does God hate it so much? Because Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the truth. In John 1, 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is full of grace and truth. He hates lies. He hates the lying tongue, and He hates them that bear false witness. Why? Because He is truth. Like that woman tried to say to me, oh, well, that's your truth. No, it's not my truth. It's the truth. I said to her, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, well, okay, well. Well, that's your beliefs. Right? They don't have any final authority except their own emotions that are flippant and go all over the place. That's why by the end of the day, when you just break it down to them and you always take it back to the Word of God, well, we're not going to agree. Why? Because you're led by your corrupt, wicked, vile, disgusting, putrid heart. And I'm led by the Word of God. That's my authority that settles it. Doesn't matter if I like it or not, it settles it. By the way, did you know that? It doesn't matter if you like it or not. If it's in this book and it settles it, it don't matter if you like it. Ask God to help you to like it. Amen. But it's just the way it is, friend. It don't matter if you like it or not. It's still the truth. I don't live in this postmodernistic world of worldview where that's your truth, that's my truth, that's his truth, that's this truth. No, it's the truth. There is one truth, and it's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is the way, the truth, and the life. John 18, 37, these are the same people like Pilate. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Amen. Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? Okay, let's stop there for a second. Because Pilate had truth standing right in front of him. It was right there. What do you mean, what is truth? He's right in front of you. He just told you.
Amen.
He just told you. Amen. He's right in front of you. He is truth. He is all truth. 100% holy and infallible and perfect. Amen. Pilate said to them, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. I can't find a fault in the guy. Of course not. He's God. There's no man on earth that you could not find fault in. Do you understand that? Here's another argument against the JW's nonsense and stupidity and that preaches against the deed of Christ. How could Pilate look at him and say, I find no fault in him at all? Well, the reason why he could say that is because he's God and you couldn't find a fault in him. And he couldn't even reason a fault. He couldn't think of one to charge against him. And he's Pilate. He did these trials daily, hourly probably. He's like, I find no fault in this man. Quite frankly, he was scared. I'll be honest with you, he was. When his wife said, leave that man alone. Leave that just man alone. He should have, but he couldn't because it wouldn't fulfill all prophecy. God knew what was going to happen, right? Pilate still could have been forgiven. as any of those people could have been forgiven. But they wouldn't accept the truth. You know why? Because they couldn't accept the truth that was right in front of them. Now the question I have for you is, can you? And do you? Or have you? Have you accepted the truth of Jesus Christ being Lord and Savior? That He died on the cross for your sins? And that He was buried and that He rose again from the dead? Have you repented and put your faith and trust in Christ, the truth? As opposed to all other lies. As opposed to what is in John 8:44. You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Do you believe the truth? Have you trusted Christ? Have you repented and put your faith and trust in him? Jesus is the truth, and all men will die and go to hell without the truth. See, when we're saved by the grace of God, we have the truth. We know the difference between right and wrong. Why? Because we have the Holy Ghost. We have Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we have the truth given to us. He is in us. And we can understand the difference between truth and error because of that. We can see the difference in that because we've been saved. And if you haven't been saved, if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, you don't have the truth. You don't have the way to go. The only way. You don't have the truth, and you certainly don't have the life. Right? But when you come to Christ, you get all of them. You get the way, the truth, and the life. Everything that you need is all in Christ. Every need that every one of us have today is all found in Christ. Whether it be the need to be saved, or whether it be the need to be sanctified, whether it's the need of full assurance of the faith, which, by the way, is not a prerequisite to go to heaven. Full assurance of the faith is not a prerequisite to go to heaven. Nope. I would that you would have it. God wants you to have full assurance of faith. But it's not necessary to be saved. Why? Because we're saved by grace. Through faith. And that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So your assurance will grow. It will go up and it will go down at times. With the things of life, but Jesus never changes. He's always the same. Praise His name. Always the same. So He never changes. Amen. But you need the truth if you don't have it. We live in a world of lies. And once you accept the truth, once you're born again by the Spirit of God, you will have a desire to live in that truth always. You will fail at times. But God's Spirit will bear witness to you that you are wrong, and you will repent, and you'll get right with God, because He'll show you. Amen. Because He's not only full of truth, but He's full of grace. Amen. He took every ounce of punishment for me that I could go free. Amen. What a Savior. Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for Jesus in my soul. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for teaching us. Lord, help us to walk with you more perfectly. Help us to be careful what our tongues say. Lord, we are all guilty of saying things we shouldn't at times. We've been guilty of it, Lord. Forgive us. Help us, Father. Help us to be wise as serpents. Help us to be slow to speak and to be careful. And Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you that we can come to you and you'll forgive us on Jesus Christ. And you'll cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. And you'll show us the good and the right way to go. Father, thank you for dying for us, sending your Son to die for us, being buried and rising again from the dead. Thank you for the Holy Ghost filling us. Thank you for being sealed under the day of redemption. God, we never can lose you. You've sealed us because you'll never lose us. You've loved us with an everlasting love. Help us never to forget that. Help us to cling to you always. Forgive those here, Lord, that are fallen and dead in their sins and not yet saved. Oh God, speak to their souls. Show them that they're lost and they need Jesus. Bring them to repentance and faith. In Jesus' name we pray.